Welcome to the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. It's September 5, 2016, and this is episode 539. Having just completed a 7-day tour of East Greenland, today I'm going to share some of my experiences and photos in the first of a travelogue-style series of episodes. I'm actually recording this in my hotel room in Reykjavik, so I'm using a digital recorder. So if the audio sounds a little bit different to usual, that's why. And I'm just going to try to blast through this and get it out to you. And I'm also going to try to do one more episode tomorrow for next week, but we'll see how that goes. So East Greenland was so much more than I expected, and in many ways, much different. I hadn't, for example, expected the landscape to be so rugged or as colourful as it is. I guess the sheer number and the size of the glaciers sort of given me a hint as to the geology of Greenland, but I didn't expect the rock to be mostly of a greenish-brown colour, and I found that quite beautiful. We spent 6 nights and 7 days in the town of Tasiilaq on the Amasalik Island. We spent some time walking around the town, but mostly travelled out of town via the nearby fjords, photographing the icebergs and the beautiful scenery. And on a few occasions, we had wonderful encounters with humpback and fin whales. I shot some 3,300 images, an average of around 500 per day. This is high for a predominantly landscape trip, and that was partly because we did see some wildlife, which you tend to shoot in bursts, but also because we travelled mostly by boat, so I tended to shoot more because of the rocking of the boat, and I was shooting handheld. It was also simply because the place was so beautiful. It was hard not to shoot. I kept up with my selection process, marking all of the images that I wanted to process by the end of each day. And all but 2 days, I was able to get the majority of my processing done too. This was the first trip that I've processed exclusively with Phase 1's Capture One Pro 9, having switched recently. I'll talk more about the processing in a future episode, but I just wanted to let you know that I found the experience really easy and I was getting great results as I expected. After a day in Reykjavik after Greenland working on my images, I was able to get my initial selection of photos down to 178, from which I've selected the first 10 to share with you today. I'll put together a portfolio of work from the trip and probably a slideshow with some of the video that I shot later as well, but for now, we'll work through the first selection and I'll continue the series in blocks of 10 images for a few weeks. We flew into East Greenland from Reykjavik, Iceland, to land on a dirt runway in the town of Kulusuk. We'd revisit Kulusuk by boat later in the trip, but with our luggage, on this first day, we started our time in Greenland with a 9-minute helicopter ride to Tasiilaq. This first photo is really a documentary shot to show you the view from the helicopter as we entered the bay at Tasiilaq, just to the east of the southern tip of the Amasalik Island. As you can see, the rocks of the islands form almost sheer drops into the ocean, allowing icebergs, of which some 70% is below the surface, to draw very close to the shore. Just to the right of the scene in this first image, we stayed in the only actual hotel in Tasiilaq that is situated almost at the highest point in the town. So the first thing we did was grabbed our cameras and documented the town and the bay, as you can see in this photo. This isn't the prettiest angle to photograph the town from, but it does give you a good idea of the place, with the colourful houses, the large red fish processing plant down by the harbour, and the town football ground in the right foreground. The hotel owner proudly told us that the construction of their new roads through the towns had just been completed the previous week, And the roads were very nice, especially when you consider that they were just potholed dirt tracks until recently. There are a few cars in the town which help with getting up and down the steep hills, but the furthest you can drive around is about 2 kilometres. There are no roads out of town. The only way to get in or out of town is by boat, helicopter, or on foot. On our first afternoon, we went for a walk around town to find our bearings. I'll probably show more images of the town in a slideshow or portfolio later, but for now, here's a shot of a fish hanging from the eaves of one of the homes. It seems that most homes have fish hanging under the eaves or from wooden racks. Most of the time, the fish are gutted and opened, but this guy looked pretty much like he did when he was swimming around in the ocean, so I thought it perhaps a little bit more appropriate to share here. I like the contrast between the golden brown of the fish and the weathered green paint of the building. The iceberg in the foreground of the first photo we looked at today was still sitting in the channel just outside the bay of Tasiilaq on the following morning as we ventured out by boat for our first trip out onto the ocean and then down the Amasalik fjord. This was so multifaceted that I still have 17 photos of this one iceberg in my final selection from various angles and focal lengths. I couldn't help thinking that the spike that we can see here looks like the hat of a Viking warrior, and below is half of a face with his eye socket, nose, and slight indentation for a mouth. I'd love to share more shots of this berg to show you why I ended up with so many still in my selection, but we'll move on for now. After heading south out of the bay at Tasiilaq, we were greeted by a couple of pods of humpback whales feeding. I got some really nice minimalist shots of their flukes as they dived, but an encounter that I'll share with you in a future episode trumped any and all whale encounters I've ever had, so we'll save the whale shots until then too. Afterwards, we hung a left and headed northeast up the Amasalik fjord, and our first stop was definitely something that I had not expected, though pretty cool all the same. Apparently, during World War II, the US took responsibility for protecting Greenland. Blue East 2 was a US airfield and weather station, which was abandoned after the war. There are thousands of oil drums strewn across the landscape, which I didn't photograph, but as we can see here, there's even a crane abandoned on the beach. This is a slightly forced perspective, as I wanted to exclude a large telegraph pole sticking out of the ground to the right of the frame here. I used a new Breakthrough Photography x4 10-stop neutral density filter, coupled with my old ND8 for 13 stops of neutral density, giving me a shutter speed of 2 minutes. Here's another shot of the abandoned airfield, and here we can see the old 1940s military trucks and the hangar in the distance, which has collapsed under the weight of the snow that falls here shortly after their short summer has ended. Because these are long exposure shots, I tried them in black and white as well, but this is one of the few occasions where the colour of the rust in the trucks and oil drums was too important to the shot for me to take away. To the left of this scene, there are literally thousands of oil drums strewn across the land. Apparently, the local Inuit people appropriated most of the ones that still had oil in them, so it didn't go to waste or cause any pollution as far as I can tell. After an hour photographing the abandoned airbase, we continued to sail along the Ikatek Channel to enter the end of the Sermiligag Fjord and on to the Nud Rusmasen Glacier, where we stopped for lunch before photographing the beautiful scenery there. This is actually the furthest north that we went during this tour, and we're at that point actually inside the Arctic Circle, a first for me. Here is a photo of the glacier and its surroundings, shot a little way up the hill from the fjord. Unfortunately, these glaciers in Greenland, like most great glaciers worldwide, are receding at an alarming rate. The map that I used during this trip was published in 1991 and shows the face of this glacier a number of kilometres further forward compared to where it actually is now. Even the relatively frequently updated Google Maps shows me past the glacier at this point. And the satellite maps, which are the most recent, show me right on the edge of the glacier. For this next photo, we were almost on the edge of the glacier, although it's often deceiving just how close you are, because these things are so huge. The face of the glacier here is, at a guess, probably 50 metres high or more. Even what appear to be tiny blocks of ice dropping off the face of the glacier, like this, causes a huge noise and the ensuing splash and wave. I like to photograph just the face of the glacier like this to showcase the fissures and beautiful colours, especially when there's a nice reflection. But I also like to find an angle that shows the glacier more in its environment, but still powerful, and I think I've done that with this next image, with an iceberg and ice pillar just in front of it. I shot this from our little boat as we started back after a break on land before heading back down the fjord. I've enhanced all of these photos to a degree in Capture One Pro 9 to bring out the texture and the colour of the ice and the sky, etc. I didn't do much, but I'll share some of those techniques in a future workflow episode in the coming weeks. Further back down the Sermilikak fjord, just before the entrance to the Ikatek Channel, we stopped to photograph this iceberg, which I thought was particularly beautiful. Of course, we stopped to photograph many more, but in trying to keep this to 10 images per episode, and because this is one of the last images that I selected from our first day out on the boat, we'll finish with this for today. I'm always amazed by the blue colour in some icebergs. It never gets old. This trip in many ways was as good, if not in some ways better, than going to Antarctica. I love Antarctica and I'll definitely go back at some point, but it's a long way down there and much more expensive. When you consider how much easier it is to get to Greenland, I think it's going to become a very popular spot in the coming years. Then all of the ice will melt and there'll be nothing left to see. But that goes for Antarctica as well, if we, and that's a collective we, the human race, don't change our selfish ways. Okay, so we'll wrap it up there for this week. I hope you enjoyed joining me on the first couple of days of my recent tour to East Greenland. I'll be back next week with part two of this series, so I hope you'll join me again as I continue my adventure. Thanks very much for listening today. If you enjoy this podcast, please share a link with your friends. Subscribe in iTunes or your favourite podcast program to ensure uninterrupted delivery. If you have a moment to rate the podcast or leave us a review in iTunes, that helps to keep us relevant in the huge number of podcasts out there now. You can find me on Google+, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook, etc. And links to everything that I'm up to are at martinbaileyphotography.com, so do drop by and take a look. I'll be back next week with another episode, but in the meantime, you take care and have a great week, whatever you're doing. Bye-bye.